The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Which means it must be hour number three of the Starting Lineup. So many pegs on this wheel. Peg. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. At Tyler Ivins, at Will West, WNML, and at 656-9900. Ooh! Will West, not only do we have a lot of things we got to give away today, get qualified for, but man, we got some rules we got to explain. For two callers, Will, that is Cliffhanger. For the first-timers and the refreshers, Mr. West, how do we play Cliffhanger here on TSL?
Here's how Cliffhanger works. Each contestant's going to get, we need two contestants right now, 656-9900. Each contestant's going to get three numbers or stats-based questions. You can miss those questions by a total of 15 total points without going over our metaphorical cliff. Contestant that's able to miss the three questions by the fewest number of points is going to be your big winner. Tyler Ivins, tell them what the win.
You know what it is. It's the Harmony Pillow. It's been the most popular gift we've given out here on the game, and it's been the most demanding prize we've been giving out since Thanksgiving. They just keep wanting more here in the month of March. The Harmony Pillow, the most comfortable pillow on the market, and with this victory, not only do you get the Harmony Pillow, but will, end of the month, Mattress Madness will be complete, and we will know who the winner is of that cooling technology queen-size mattress from M. Lilly. Find them on Kingston Pike next to the Fresh Market in Farragut. Eric Kane, this will be a good time for you to introduce to us our two contestants for Thursday's game.
Yeah, we got Daniel and Toby.
Daniel and Toby. Hi, Daniel. Come on in and say hello to us. That's Will. I'm Tyler. Today's game is Cliffhanger. So, Daniel, who do you want to be getting your Cliffhanger questions from?
I'll take Tyler.
Daniel, let me ask you a question real quick. How well do you know NFL jersey numbers? Because you're about to get some jersey algebra.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Daniel, what if I told you I'm going to take it easy on you? You will know all three of these offensive pending free agents. Are you ready? I need to know, Daniel.
I'll do my best.
Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, what uniform number does he wear? You've seen him. He's got the white jersey on. He's got the blue jersey on. He's running around for his life. I'm sorry?
Eight.
He's number four. So we're going to move up four spots as we get to arguably the number one wide receiver free agent this offseason. Can you tell me, Daniel, Chicago Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you do. No. You know this.
84.
Oh, boy. Oh, goodness. Daniel, he wears number 12. We've gone in a complete different direction here. But I want to play this out because you know what, Daniel? Crazier things have happened. Just ask the 1980 Olympic team up in Lake Placid, okay? I need you to tell me what uniform number does Chris Godwin wear for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Remember, he used to be number 12, but he gave that up to Brady. What number did Chris Godwin wear this year when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl?
26.
Okay, he was number 14. Quick math says that we're a little outside of our range. So what we're going to do here is we're going to tell you to hold tight. And you know what? I'm going to grab a calculator, and while I do that, Will and Toby are going to be doing some
just a bit outside
fantastic things on the other side.
Oh, man. Boy. Toby, I thought I was going to Ivins you, but Ivins just Ivins Daniel in a way that no one's ever been Ivins. So are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for you.
All right, so hopefully you know about margins of victory in college basketball. You probably don't, but you know what? You've got a cushion. We'll just say that. Florida, Tennessee's opponent coming up this weekend in their final regular season SEC game. They lost to Missouri last night. How many points did Florida lose to Missouri by last night?
Two.
The answer is two. Fantastic job there.
Wow.
Lady Vols are on a collision course with South Carolina, it looks like, in the women's SEC basketball tournament coming up this weekend. How many points did the Lady Vols beat South Carolina by 2 weeks ago?
I'll go with three.
The answer was 8, so you're just sitting at 5 right now. We have got, again,
I just did the math real quick. Daniel and I got 88, so Toby, you and Will have got an 83 cushion. Or excuse me. Yeah, you got an 83 cushion. So best of luck here, Toby. You got 84 is a loss, Daniel. Let's do this.
All right. Here we go, Toby. Tennessee playing Florida this weekend. The last time the Vols played the Gators, it was their biggest margin of loss on the season. How many points did Tennessee lose to Florida by?
Toby, I think they lost by like 100 points, don't you think?
23.
The answer's 26, so you ended up with 8. That was a fantastic job, Toby.
Man, I feel so dirty. But if you would, if the court would allow me to explain, if the court will allow me to explain.
Day in and day out, Tyler always does this, Will. It's just incredible.
Eric Kane, I swear to you, I will throw a stick of dynamite in your studio.
I'll back him. I did this a minute ago, and my number was 1, so I didn't think it was too challenging. So I'll back Tyler on this one, but every other day I will not.
Will, Eric Kane did these 3 uniform numbers. Now, granted, Kaner does this for a living. Kaner's the producer. Kaner is the jack of all trades. But when he asked, okay, you're doing jersey algebra, let's see how well I did, he literally listed off all 3 and got a total of 1. So when he did well, I was like, okay, maybe this is not going to be as bad. So, Daniel, right now, if you're cursing my name, it's okay.
Narrator, it was bad.
It was very bad.
What gets you was low number wide receivers. That's what it'll get on the jersey algebra.
That's what it is. If you get that wide receiver who wants a 1 through 19 number, oh, yeah. Yeah, they just – why can't they just pick the 80 through 89 number? No. They always got to have these new unique, give me the 11s, Larry Fitzgerald, give me the 13s, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr.'s, Michael Thomas's. Point being, though, Will, let's go ahead and send a little love over to our friends at M. Lilly because with the win, Toby, he gets the Harmony Pillow. His name now entered in the hopper, end of the month, March Madness. We call it, it's Mattress Madness here on TSL because not only does he have the Harmony Pillow, but he's also possibly at the end of the month getting the cooling technology from M. Lilly and turning that into a brand new free queen-size mattress from our friends right next door to the Fresh Market in Farragut.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody that wins the game in the month of March is going to win a queen-size mattress from M. Lilly Mattresses. I mean, at the cutting edge when it comes to cooling technology with mattresses. M. Lilly Mattresses, M. Lilly Bedding, they're the ones, the mattress providers for Manchester United, the most valuable sports franchise in the entire world. These mattresses are fantastic. That Harmony Pillow's unbelievable. And remember, the U.S. headquarters for M. Lilly Mattresses right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can check out the M. Lilly store in the Village Green Shopping Center in Farragut or at Fine Bedding retailers all over these United States.
Jason on Twitter says, I don't program the show, but jersey algebra, goodness gracious, I'm getting the sweats in my car. Do people get nervous when jersey algebra comes up to the table?
Yes.
I get nervous when jersey algebra comes.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember what anybody's number is whatsoever. Kaner made fun of me because I couldn't remember Tom Brady's one day. So that might just be a
TB12.
I know. Couldn't remember. I know Eli Manning was 10. It's the only thing I need to know in my life. Larry Bird was 33. Nothing else.
Can you tell me what jersey number Keith Bullock was for the Tennessee Titans?
53.
No.
53. Can you tell me what number he was for the Giants?
No.
I believe it was 53 as well.
No, because I don't remember Keith Bullock as a Giant.
He finished his career there, didn't he, Will?
Did he finish his career there? I know he was there for a little piece.
I think he might not. I'm pretty sure his last year or two. But nonetheless, Keith Bullock is awesome, and he was a great linebacker. So that's the takeaway from this.
I get it. It's got to be in your wheelhouse, your favorite teams. But I can understand how jersey algebra can also be a little it can be a little concerning whenever you find out that's the subject. But, hey, we all have to go through the subject once in a while, Will West.
We do have to go through the subject, it seems, anyway. I'm a fan. I think it's a staple on the program at this point.
Is it? Okay, because I need to get that thing trademarked and probably watch over my shoulder when I go to the car in my driveway because somebody's going to show up in my cul-de-sac and be like, you want a jersey algebra me? Apologies again, Daniel. I hope we can do it again very, very soon. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Hey, we got about 45 minutes to play with here. Before we get to SBC, a couple things we need to dive into. The legacy of Philip Fulmer now that Danny White and Josh Heupel era has begun here in Knoxville. And are we being a little too hard on Tennessee basketball? Because if you look up and down the AP Top 25, there's a lot of teams that got similar records. But by chance, have the losses not been as large as Ole Miss, Auburn, to name a few. we'll discuss. Plus, John Fulkerson met with the media yesterday. It's hard not to like this guy. It's hard not to want to cheer for John Fulkerson as he tries to right the ship for a Tennessee team, ladies and gentlemen, that can get the double bye, the fourth and final double bye in Nashville with a victory on Senior Day Sunday against Florida. Tyler Ivins, Will West, no more Jersey algebra this morning, but we have a Tennessee Lottery update for you. It's happening now on the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee football announced spring football dates for first-year head coach Josh Heupel. Spring practice will begin March 23rd. The Orange and White game will be held on April 24th, while the 2021 Pro Day will take place on March 25th. No kickoff time or fan attendance has been announced for the Orange and White game at this time. Raniah Davis has been named a finalist for the Cheryl Miller Small Forward of the Year Award. The Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame announced that on Wednesday. Davis joins four others in the finalist category. She's averaging 16 points, 8 rebounds a contest, and was named to the first team All-SEC squad earlier this week. Tennessee baseball battled back from an early deficit to take down Austin Peay on the road yesterday, 5-3. In college hoops, Missouri held off Florida 72-70. Mississippi State down Texas A&M 63-57. Nationally, number 10 Villanova got by number 14 Creighton 72-60. 11th ranked Florida State drilled Boston College 93-64. And number 19 San Diego State blasted UNLV 71-62. In the NBA, Philadelphia held off Utah 131-123. VFL Tobias Harris scored 22 points. The Kings took down the Lakers 123-120. Have fun now and later with Quick Cash from the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by your nearest retailer and add Quick Cash, your Tennessee Cash, Lotto America, and Cash for Life ticket. 8:17, Pete Michaels Traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
All right, Will, I want to dive into this head on because I'm catching a lot of heat this morning on social media, which is at TSL99.1, at Tyler Ivins, and at Will West, WNML. Will, this is a Tennessee team that's got 7 losses, and a lot of people are saying I'm not, quote, Billy Joel, keeping the faith about Tennessee basketball this Sunday on Senior Day. They're going to recognize John Fulkerson, Eve Pons. And because of last night's 2-point victory by Missouri in the Swamp, looky here. No way Florida loses their last two games, right? Well, there's one. If Tennessee was to knock off the Gators and avenge their 26-point loss earlier this season in Gainesville, Tennessee's going to get the fourth and final double bye in the SEC tournament next week in Nashville. Those first three belong to Alabama, Arkansas, and LSU. I'm sorry. All we've asked for the last 4 weeks on this program is show consistency, and you'll start buying my trust. You'll start buying my faith in this Tennessee basketball program. You know, Jerry Palm, as he said yesterday when he joined the program, look, beginning of the year when they started 10-1, yeah, I thought Tennessee was a Final Four contender. Will, since going 10-1, not only has this team been consistent on the win-loss line, but they've been inconsistent, of course, when it comes to the number in Vegas as well. I know one doesn't mean the other. I know one's more important than the other. It just, if you want to know what inconsistencies look like, some people just look at who has one more point better in the win-loss record. But also they've been very inconsistent on the floor when it comes to how Vegas believes to dictate how the game should play out as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. They've been inconsistent most of the year on the offensive end, but the one thing that you could count on for a while was that they were going to get it done on the defensive end. Well, now that's gone. Part of that Pons injury, I think, is an eraser at the rim. I mean, think about in the last three games we've seen him get dunked on a couple of times.
Yeah.
People wouldn't have even tried. You know what I mean? Pre-injury Pons, I don't think, and he would have slung that in the other direction if they would have tried. But because of the injury, he doesn't quite have the same explosiveness off the bounce, and so the rim protection isn't there nearly as much. These young guys want to play 5-out basketball, get up and down AAU ball, and you need that offensively. But it does mean you're giving up some things on the defensive end right now. And so that's one of the things that's concerning a little bit about Tennessee basketball. But you're right. I mean, the thing is this, they were inconsistent. Here's my question to you.
Right.
Are they now consistent and they're just not very good?
I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to say that they're not very good because I don't believe that there's a team out there that can have three five-star players and just flat out simply not be good. I think that the sit out by Josiah Jordan James was big for them. I think Epon's them sitting out, that wasn't very big for, I mean, that was very big for them. I think what's happening now is trying to find out where the offensive consistency is coming from. There are many times, Will, where you can tell that Tennessee is stuck in a rut where offensively they just aren't clicking. And I would very much like for one of these five stars, whether it's Keon or a Jaden, to be a little bit more selfish with the basketball and play hero ball. Now, I understand that's not Rick Barnes' type of offense. I would very much like for one of these guys to go, you know what? We're on the same page here, all right? Keon Johnson is going to end up being a very fantastic basketball player in the NBA as a lottery pick. This may not be how things play out, but if Keon Johnson wants an opportunity to try to see how deep he can go in the NCAA tournament, when Tennessee hits one of these ruts, whether it's in Nashville next week or they're a 7 or 6 seed going up against a 10 or 11 seed, dang it, Keon Johnson, take that basketball and drive the lane, get them in the bonus, get your team at the free throw line, and just win basketball games. That's where I'm at right now, and somebody needs to be that person. Keon Johnson can be that person. Just take over a game.
I get concerned that they're too many jumpers, that they're not aggressive enough. So I don't want to see either of those young guys. What I want to see them do is draw the double and be able to then hit the open man. Now, they're not there yet as far as knowing what they want to do with the basketball when they drive. And right. They're not driving in the lane. They'll beat somebody off the dribble. Those guys can go get their own shot. The problem is they're missing that shot over and over again when it comes to mid-range jumpers. So we've been talking about this since they beat Missouri back in December, that, man, too many times it's a couple passes on the perimeter and either a three or they beat somebody off the dribble and pull up for an off-balance jumper that they miss. Now this is really, really, really rearing its head and becoming a problem for Tennessee basketball. So I would love to see them be more aggressive and get into the lane. I think it would open a lot of things up for a lot of for the other guys on the floor. But I just want to, right now, that's the baby step I want to see them take. Get into the lane, get guys in foul trouble, like you're saying, get the other team into the bonus and knock down some free throws. That's the thing, the step I want to see them take first, and we'll see what the rest of it comes after that.
That's Will West, Tyler Rivett, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Start, bench, cut, tighten down a few things before EA and Brian Rice take over top of the hour here on your home for Tennessee basketball, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Well, your March 4th TSL continuing this Thursday morning. 25 minutes to go here. Tyler Ivins and Will West, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Hey, Will, before we get to start, bench, cut, opportunity for us to say hello and how you doing to a lot of our listeners out there who might be stopping by. Today's day number one, but we'll be there tomorrow for day number two to kick off the weekend. We're going to be at the Downtown Boat Show. That's going to be at the Knoxville Convention Center. I'll be there between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., my man. I'm going to tell you, it's always great seeing that we're getting vaccines pushed out and we're getting to get back in the public again. But the Downtown Boat Show is always very special. I always think I'm Kenny Powers. I get on one of those jet skis. I wear leopard print. You should come hang out with me. And on top of all that, so many fantastic things you can do for you and your family. It all begins tomorrow with us, TSL Friday from the Downtown Boat Show. It stinks we both can't be there because I know you're a big fan of it as well, but maybe I'll do a 12-month calendar spread on the pontoon boats and the jet skis and the power boats, and maybe perhaps you can give me the $10 donation I've been looking for the last couple of years.
It's just an incredible event, the Downtown Knoxville Boat Show. Fantastic people to put that on. I'll be massive. It is absolutely massive. Yeah. They're taking every precaution when it comes to COVID this year. So really excited that we can have events like this back at East Tennessee.
Will, start, pitch, cut time. I don't get too many W's, but I have a feeling today's they're going to be a little juicier than normal. Give this a listen.
How do you rank them? It's time for Mary... Whoops. The FCC says we can't do it that way. Let's play start, bench, or cut on the starting lineup. Powered by Heritage Realty, locally owned and operated with over 50 years of experience in the Knoxville market, where today's technology meets traditional customer service. Heritage Realty.
All right, guys, yesterday was actress Julie Bowen's birthday. Ooh. Today is actresses Patricia Heaton and Catherine O'Hara's birthdays. Which actress's show is best, Modern Family, Everybody Loves Raymond, or Schitt's Creek?
I'll start this one because, Will, you know I haven't seen Schitt's Creek. I mean, I've seen it. I know what it is. I haven't seen it. I could point it out and go, oh, that's Eugene Levy. That's the dad from Schitt's Creek. But I you know what I mean? So I'm going to start Modern Family. I'm going to bench Everybody Loves Raymond because everybody loves Raymond. And I'm going to cut Schitt's Creek.
I'm going to start Schitt's Creek. I'm going to bench Modern Family. I'm going to cut Everybody Loves Raymond. I'm going to be honest with you. I had kind of a hot take. I did not like that show.
You don't like Raymond?
I got it the first time. It was just kind of, I don't know, the brother, the dad.
Everybody loves Raymond.
I get it. Modern Family's good. It's a solid show, too. Schitt's Creek, it is one of those shows you have to, binge it more so than just watch it the odd episode here or there. But that's a fantastic show.
Behind Gonzaga and Baylor, which team is most deserving of a one seed? Michigan, Illinois, Alabama.
Oh, that's pretty straightforward to me. Even though they lost to them the other night, I'm still not going to bump the Wolverines down a spot. So that order, the way you laid it out, Juwan Howard's defense right now with these teams, remember they lost players to transfer into the NBA. They weren't supposed to be as good as they are this year. They've completely just wiped that narrative off the table. Michigan's your start. The Illini is your bench. The Tide, your SEC regular season champs, are the cut.
Yeah, I'm going to start Michigan. I'm going to bench Alabama. I agree with you. I think that they're not getting enough credit for the SEC is going to do better in the SEC in the NCAA tournament than people think. Alabama's not getting enough credit, probably because they lost those games early on in the season before they figured some things out. They changed a little bit of what they're doing. Great piece by Matt Norlander on Nate Oates and what he's doing with Alabama basketball. So if you get a chance to read it, but it took a few games for them to figure that out. Once they did, they have been consistently good. Bama's the bench, cut Illinois.
Which SEC team will go furthest in the NCAA tournaments? Alabama, Arkansas, or Missouri?
Arkansas is the hottest team in college basketball right now, not named Gonzaga probably, right? 18-2.
The must-bus.
Yes, 18-2 since they got the full-strength roster back. I'm going to start Bama. Now, the problem with Bama is if they any game that they can't shoot, it's over, right? So any bad shooting night, they're in trouble. But I'm going to start Bama. I'm going to bench Arkansas. I am going to cut Missouri. But Konzo's team is going to be a tough out for some of the finesse basketball teams that are out there.
No team shoots more three-pointers a game than Alabama. No team has shot more three-pointers all season long than Alabama. Remember how we used to say Bruce's team was live or die by the three? That's Nate Oates' team this year. They have lived and they have died by the three, and they're doing a whole lot more living than they are dying, I'll tell you that. That being said, though, who's the hottest going in the tournament? It's Arkansas. I'm going to start the Hogs. I'll bench the Tide. Great win by Konzo last night in the Swamp, but compared to those other two right now, the Tigers are taking the cut spot.
It was on this day in 1974 when People became available for the first time. What magazine are you most likely to read in the dentist office? Sports Illustrated, Time, or Better Homes and Gardens? It's still Sports Illustrated for me, hands down, every time.
Even if the article's like 19 years old? If the cover story's 19 years old?
Well, yeah, then I want to go in and just see how things are so much different now from sports perspective and just from a writing perspective.
Okay, I'm going to start Better Homes and Gardens here, Will. Here's the reason why. I have no style whatsoever. I don't know how to spruce my house up and make it look like a 34-year-old lives here. So what I do is I go through airport newsstands. I go through different drugstore newsstands, and I just look through magazines and go, oh, wow, maybe I should stop by Pottery Barn and I put that in front of my door, and that'll make people go, that guy is festive and elegant. Never happens, never works that way. But I'll start with Better Homes and Garden, and everything else is just kind of just on the table for me. It's whatever at that point in time.
I'm going to start Time. I am most likely to read it. I will bench Sports Illustrated. Here's the thing with Sports Illustrated. It's not very good anymore. Pat Forty is a good writer. Ross Dellinger is a good writer. Andrew Brandt's a good writer. Ever since Maven's taken over, though, it is not great. So yeah. I am still going to bench it because it's sports. Better Homes and Gardens, I just don't care. So I mean, put me some lawn chairs in front of a television and a refrigerator, and I got food and I'm good. So I don't care about Decker. I should as a grown up now, but I do not adult that way whatsoever. So I'm going to cut Better Homes and Gardens.
See, Time to me is just a song by Hootie and the Blowfish. It's not a magazine. By the way, great song, by the way. Time by Hootie and the Blowfish. If you haven't heard it, love it.
Who should be in consideration for the final number one seed? Illinois, Iowa, or West Virginia?
This is an important conversation to have here, Will, because I understand Illinois just beat Michigan, but should Iowa be getting a little bit more love with their recent play and then going to Ohio State last weekend and winning at Columbus? I agree West Virginia's the cut here because West Virginia had a chance to be in this conversation if they beat Baylor the other night at home. Losing to Baylor takes them out of this conversation. But who should be getting more love? Illinois for their victory against Michigan or Iowa their victory against Ohio State?
Okay, I'm going to start Illinois here because when I'm looking at recent play, I'm going to go with a larger sample size than Iowa has been greatly improved in the last month. Illinois has been greatly improved the last 2 months. So because of that, I'll start Illinois. I'll bench Iowa. I'm going to cut press Virginia.
You're not gonna penalize them at all that Ayu Dosunmu and his broken nose might not play at all for the rest of the season.
Well, not the way they're playing. I mean, they haven't missed a beat. The effort they're giving right now, their effort level is at a completely different level than it was at the beginning of the season. I mean, it's every single possession on both sides of the ball. I'm also going to hold it against Huggy Bear that he no longer wears the gold sequin jacket with the black mock turtleneck under it on the side.
Found out the other day, Huggy Bear, big fan of Woodford Reserve and Miller Lite. Apparently it's a party everywhere that guy goes, just to let you know. I don't know if Huggy Bear's coming to Knoxville anytime soon.
And that's just on the sideline.
I know they recently just played at the Big 12 SEC Challenge, so hide all the Miller Lite and Woodford Reserve you have.
Last up, which SEC team currently with a double bye has the best chance to win the tournament next weekend in Nashville? LSU, Alabama, Arkansas?
Well, I still think it's Arkansas. I'm going to run with Arkansas. I'm not going to give LSU any love here because there are a lot of people who are like, watch out, LSU's the 3 seed. I don't care. LSU's probably going to get dumped on Friday anyway. They'll end up playing somebody they don't expect, like a Mississippi State. Ben Howland will come, or Tom Crean's team will hit 59% from the field. The over will be done by the 18-minute mark of the second half, and people are going to be like, we got a good one here in Nashville. So I'm going to start Arkansas. I believe in the must bus. I'm going to bench Bama. I'm going to cut LSU.
I'm going to go that route as well. I do think Arkansas is more likely to get got than Bama is in the NCAA tournament, but I do think for the SEC tournament, Arkansas is going to be my pick to win it. So I agree with you. Start out Arkansas, bench Alabama, cut LSU.
And we're going to start Heritage Realty every time, Will, because Monday through Friday around the 8:35 mark, you catch Start Bench Cut here with you and I on TSL.
That's right. Heritage Realty Knox.com, a boutique firm that focuses on you, the client, or the needs of the sales pipeline. Look, right now, especially with where the real estate market is and how hot it is, you're going to want a realtor that treats you, that doesn't just treat you like a number, that looks for the perfect house, the perfect subdivision, the perfect neighborhood with the perfect school district exactly for you. And that's the type of service they give you at Heritage Realty.
Speaking of grammar, you and I, me and you, you and me, sometimes this can get a little tricky, I can tell you that. But smart men always find a way to make sure it's properly used in a statement. Eric Kane.
Wait a minute. I thought I'm from Sevier County, so I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Yuns. That's just what you say.
Yuns. Yuns.
That covers it all.
All right. Well, Yuns, we've had a pretty solid show today. Not you and I, Will, or Kane or me and you can end up. So, look, I'm not trying to say that I aced my grammar test, but sometimes even I can have a slip and not even know. As long as I put a twang on it, people just usually say, oh, bless your heart. That's how it worked for me in the Midwest when I worked 5 years at Iowa. It's always, oh, you're from Tennessee. You just got shoes and just learned what grammar is. So I got away with a lot there in the Midwest. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's come back, get you ready for the EA Bryant Show, and then on the other side as well, look, Philip Fulmer. Couple things to touch on when it comes to what's happened since he has left the university as the athletics director on the Hill. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee football announced spring football dates for first-year head coach Josh Heupel on Wednesday. Spring practice will begin March 23rd, while the Orange and White game will be held on April 24th. The 2021 Pro Day will take place on March 25th. Renai Davis has been named a finalist for the Cheryl Miller Small Forward of the Year Award. The Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame announced on Wednesday. Davis joins four others in the finalist category. She's averaging 16 points, 8 rebounds a contest, and was named to the first team All-SEC squad earlier this week. Tennessee baseball battled back from an early deficit to down Austin Peay on the road 5-3 to improve to 8-2 on the year. Elijah Pleasant set career highs for 6 innings pitched, 6 strikeouts, while earning the win out of the bullpen. College hoops last night, Missouri held off Florida 72-70. Mississippi State down Texas A&M 63-57. Nationally, number 10 Villanova got by 14th-ranked Creighton 72-60. Number 11 Florida State drilled Boston College 93-64. And number 19 San Diego State blasted UNLV 71-62. And in the NBA, Philadelphia held off Utah 131-123. VFL Tobias Harris scored 22 points. And the Kings down the struggling Lakers 123-120. Have fun now and later with Quick Cash from the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by your nearest retailer and add Quick Cash to your Tennessee Cash, Lotto America, and Cash for Life ticket. Pete Michaels Traffic is coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Sure.
From selling hot dogs in Neyland Stadium as a kid to living on a roof, he's all ball. Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment of your Thursday TSL. We prepare to see you tomorrow at the Downtown Knoxville Boat Show at the Convention Center. Tyler Ivins and Will West. Hey, Guillermo, Philip Fulmer, it was a great conversation we had today. There's a lot of people who got to wonder, where do you go now? Now, granted, Josh Heupel, Danny White, they've been here over a month now. But just looking back on Dante Plowman, Randy Boyd sitting at the table with Philip Fulmer the day that the investigation or the findings were being announced, at least majority of the findings, waiting for the ruling. And Philip Fulmer, from a prepared statement that he read to then the awkward exchange with the media answering a few of the questions, what is there? Is there anybody out there who can separate Philip Fulmer from his time as an assistant to the head coach to what many people believe is the failed attempt as the athletics director here for a few short years in Knoxville? Some people will be able to separate. Others won't. They'll bunch them all together. For you, Philip Fulmer, the legacy that is coach and athletics director, where are you as we've now separated, or the fan base has separated themselves for roughly about 30-plus days now?
Yeah, one of the things when you look at Philip Fulmer at AD, it's going to be remembered. The thing that's going to be remembered most is what happened with football. And Jeremy Pruitt was a bad hire. And under his watch, this NCAA stuff or the compliance stuff happened to the point where the school felt like they needed to turn it in, which is not something that ever happens. So that's going to hit. The train wreck stopped, the public train wreck stopped when Philip Fulmer took over as AD as far as the day in, day out, something terrible from a PR perspective happened. So that right. happened. And the backstabbing publicly stopped as well there. He won a lot, and then all of a sudden the bottom fell out of it. To me, I look at Philip Fulmer like an athlete that hung on too long, like Dominique Wilkins in an Orlando Magic jersey. You know what I mean? Or something like that.
Nice.
Really, really, really good player. Elijah Wan in a Raptors jersey. He hung on too long when it came to the coaching side. We could look at Wake Forest football and realize, okay, that was not on Dave Clawson what happened with the offense here. So I just look at it as he didn't evolve. And I do think that maybe that played into what happened with the AD situation, that you can't be as public about cheating in this day and age as you could be in years past. I do think that it's always going to be a thing with the fan base and why he's not. I don't think he'll be revered the way that he should be, because even with the press conference with Plowman and Boyd, when Philip Fulmer, they announced he was stepping away, new AD, new coach. They had to do this dog and pony show because of the politicking with Coach Fulmer. The politicking is going to be the thing that he's national championship. He'll be remembered for number one. Politicking is going to be number two, and it will be the biggest detriment to his legacy, I think, in the eyes of most of the fans.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Tight 3 hours today. We're back at it again tomorrow on location, beginning at 6 a.m. Tennessee, Florida, it's this weekend with the Vols. They can still lock up that Friday double bye in Nashville, but they must take care of business. We've done that. Next 3 hours belong to Eric Ainge and Brian Rice. They're going to take the handoff and the baton the rest of the way here on your home for Tennessee Hoops. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.